I really believe that people have entered into a new season here at Life Center. Honestly, in the last 3 to 4 months, how many people have felt that? Almost, I felt numbers of people I've prayed for them, like a whole new chapter has opened in their lives. And I believe many people that just in a new place in their hearts. But I believe at Life Center, we've really gained new territory. And I believe, really know this, because it's not an area I just believe, but I know in my heart, Easter Sunday we're here, and I remember it was the first service, and I had an open picture of us gaining ground. And what I mean by that, I could see an aerial view of us entering in over a new territory, almost like you're going from the ocean into a land, into a new continent, if I could say it that way. Had a big aerial view, and I felt the Lord said, I'm giving you new territory. And that's always exciting, isn't it? And I just remember going like, wow, this is really, we're getting a new territory, a new land, a new region. And as I look through scripture, because I always look through scripture, when you hear something in your heart, you see something, I want to see it in the word too. How many people are with me? Verifies those things and you know, makes it, confirms it. And as I look through scripture, anytime the God's people are given new land, there was a battle that took place along with it. And it's really exciting. Like, I've given you new territory, and we all get excited. Like, yeah, you know. It's like, remember the Lord says somewhere, over and over, wherever your foot shall tread, I've given you the land. And then when they get into the land, they have to contend and fight for it. It's kind of this little thing like, yay, oh, like, we're here, we have to fight. I thought it was given to us. And this happened to Life Center in early 90s. If you've been into this church quite a while, we had a great prophet, a man of God, prophesy that we've given you a vast property up on the hill and can be clearly seen from the freeway for the purposes of the children, the purposes of the training, speaking of this place. And as soon as we got into it, we learned to contend like never before. It was like, oh, the ensuing battle. We forgot. We thought it was just given into our hand. But there was a battle of contending to stay here, okay? And if you're with us and been around, you know, like, we dug in prayer, like, but there's a contending to be established here, you know, just to pay the bills here, to grow and expand here. And I believe that's happening right now, honestly, wherever, you know, it happens in our lives. And I believe it's a pattern all throughout Scripture when God's people are contending. Now, listen to me clearly. When God's people are contending, usually there's a crying out, okay? And I believe the Bible urges us to cry out. And I believe it's a little different. He says in Psalm 50, verse 15, God tells us to cry out to me. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Isn't that awesome? It's really great. But there's a real clear, I want you to get really clearly, there's a difference between, if you look through Scripture, between our everyday praying, and there's all kinds of prayer, and there's a difference between that prayer and a crying out prayer. How many people would agree? It's like you're in a situation, you cry out, your prayer becomes really short and simple. God, help me, right? And I love in Hebrews chapter 4, he invites us. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that awesome? It's a promise. It's come to me. So many times we get a place in a battle and we're so beat up, or we're in a place where we're contending and we just need to keep the simple things, the main thing, we're going to keep praying, right? Amen? So I want you to understand there's a clear distinction between just what we consider prayer and a crying out. And I know I've talked with numbers of people as they've come into Life Center, you know, come into a prayer meeting, they're like freaked out. They're like, you guys are into this loud and intense praying, you know, and some people are overwhelmed and they say, you know, can't God just hear the whisper of our heart? Absolutely. I believe God hears the faintest whisper from the deepest place of our spirit. He does. But as I look through the Bible, I can't help but notice this unmistakable principle or pattern. God's people in their time of need cry out to him, right? They lift their voices for help, and he answers with his power. How many people would agree with that? Isn't that awesome? And I think we don't need to be ashamed. We need to make this a part of our regular, kind of a regular diet. Like, God, we're crying out. I've built it into a lifestyle. Certain times in my day, I cry out to the Lord for my family, for the church, for certain situations or areas we're living in right then. Does that make sense? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Now, that call in that scripture is a Hebrew word, kora, and it means crying aloud or calling out aloud. Isn't that awesome? It's the same word that is used in Psalm 50, which I quoted earlier, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Isn't it awesome? If you start looking at this through scripture, you cannot believe how much crying out takes place. Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all who call upon him in truth. The great man of God, the man after God's own heart, David, in Psalm 55, he says, evening and morning and at noon, verse 17, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. The word here for cry aloud in Hebrew is hama. It's a loud growl or a groan is what it says, or roar. Anybody ever done that? Everybody been in an emergency situation, ever did that? Years ago, we were putting a bathroom, and I say we are. I was putting a bathroom in my basement, and I was, this is 20-plus years ago, and I cut the concrete and put it all in, and I'm using a plumber's torch because I'm putting all the copper in for the plumbing. And first thing I did was put a door on the room that was entered because our children were very small at the time, and somehow one of my children must have got in because when I went in there, the little plumber's torch was laying on its side. Anybody know what I'm talking about, a little plumber's torch? Anyhow, I was doing the soldering. Right when I went to light it, though, this one time I came home in the afternoon, went to light it. I think Marcy was with the children somewhere. And thought, oh, good, I'll get some work done here. And lit the torch, and I didn't know one of the children had knocked it over, and the nozzle had cracked in it. And as soon as I lit it, the whole thing turned into a ball of fire. Talk about freak you out. Now, this is in the basement of our house. You know, I've got everything up, and I'm just finishing the last bit of the plumbing. Well, the torch, I drop it, and it rolls to the wall and starts burning the walls. Now, talk about crying out. I did this hama right then. Jesus! started screaming. Right then, Marcy comes in the house from being with the kids somewhere, and I cry, hey, there's a fire. It's a propane tank. She quickly gets the kids out of the house and calls the fire department, calls 911. And she mentions propane. So when she mentions propane gas to a fire company, 7 fire companies are on their way within 60 seconds. So she threw these wet towels down the basement, used the wet towels. But in the middle of the crying out, I just remember like, Jesus, don't allow my house to burn down. And I reached over. I remember grabbing the torch and pointing away from the wall. Didn't singe anything on my body. It was miraculous. And then she threw these wet towels and I put it out. Like within a minute, it was all out. So I ran out as the fire trucks drove up. I said, hey, we're good. They tried to recruit me for the next 5 years. Be a volunteer fireman. The guy said, hey, I'm the first of 7 companies. There was East Penn, Camp Hill, Mechanicsburg, Lemoyne. They were all on their way. Anyhow, it was crazy. Back to the story. So what I did was I was crying out with a higher pitch. All right? You guys with me? Psalm 18, verse 6. It says, I called upon the Lord and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Now that word here, cry, is this higher pitch, like a real high pitch of a child screaming for their parents. Anybody ever had that happen to them? Yes, their small child. Years ago, one of our children, our younger son, always did things earlier than everybody else. And so he begged me to take the training wheels off. He was just 3 years old and said, take my training wheels off. I can do this. You know, and all the rest of our kids were, the 4 or 5 till you take the training wheels off. And he could do it. So he took his training wheels off. He's following me one day, only a few weeks into learning to ride a bike, a two-wheeler. And I have one of the other children in a bike trailer. Do you know what a bike trailer is? Hooked to a bike. Anyhow, we're coming down a hill. And I then turned around and said, now watch the stones in the turn. And as soon as I did, I hear this, whoom. And my son hits the stones, rolls his bike, and when he rolled, he did a somersault and hit his head right against the pavement. He cracked the helmet, and he put a hole in the side of his head. Now, it was a really small hole, but you know how head wounds bleed? So when he rolls, he's sitting on his rear end. I turn around, and he's got these massive streaks of blood across his face. It looks like Darth Maul, if you're ever a Star Wars fan. He literally has these red streaks, and my youngest daughter, she did this high shriek. She's screaming, and it was almost humorous, but he was just sitting there. Like, he wasn't even crying, but it was terrifying to see as a parent. You're like, ah! Yeah, we fixed it. Got a little glue in his head, and he was fine. Took an emergency room. Anyhow, but he cried out, that loud cry, like a child cries out, like no one else can do. When a parent hears that, you know something's wrong, right? Psalm 34, stay with me. Verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all the trouble. The word cry out is an actual shriek. It's the root word swak, I think it means, but it is the word that says shriek sound. This is one of those high-pitched break the glass sound, all right? Now, why am I saying that? Because there's a natural outflow of a love relationship we have with our listening God. Do you know that? Just like when I hear my children cry out, it's the same with our Heavenly Father, okay? Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, what? Crying out, what? Abba, Father. Isn't that awesome? The Greek word here for crying out is shouting. Isn't that awesome? Come on, we're shouting. So I believe one of the areas that we contend for quite a bit here are for families. So I've asked Patty, Josh, come on up. We're just going to contend for some families. Can we do that today?
Come on up, Josh. So as I pray, we're going to pray for families here. You agree with me if I hit something that hits the target for you, okay? So we're crying out for families. We're crying out for Life Center, the families of Life Center. First, we're going to cry out for the marriages, that the marriages would be strengthened, that husbands and wives would learn the depth and the riches of real marital love, and that those of you who have been stung by divorce, that God would heal your hearts and he'd heal your children's hearts. And those single parents out there, that you would know have the resources and the strength that you need to parent well. And those of you that are single, that you'd find a place in family in this community. And you wouldn't be doing this alone, whether you're elderly or divorced or whatever that looks like. We're crying out for the fathers and mothers that, God, you would give us wisdom and guidance to such stability for those who are in our care, that we would be able to release significance and value, that our children's destinies are released. And from our own lives, such deposits of faith, words of wisdom into the rich soil of our children's lives, that our children will grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with others, that they would not be sifted by the culture of today, but they would refuse to bow their knees to the edicts of this culture, and they'd know who they are in you. That your word would be living and active in our homes, and our homes and our hearts would be pornography-free zones, and all of our affections would be in you. That we'd be marked by your tangible presence, clean hands, pure hearts, purity, that we would be beacons of hope in our communities. Beacons of hope, that we would be evangelistic outposts of light, love, and laughter. There would be such joy in our homes, it would draw people to us, and they'd come to know the love of God. And finally, I want to pray for the prodigals. Many of us have prodigal loved ones, sons and daughters. It's time for them to come home. It's time for our parents who don't know the Lord to come home. So would you stand with me, and let's cry out for them to come home. Let's cry out three times. Come home, come home, come home. Let's go. Come home, come home, come home. Yeah.
Just stay standing. You know, I feel like the greatest warfare is this, is to realize how good God is. And if you realize how good he is, you'll fight the right fight. So let's pray. You know, the lie of the enemy is that there's actually an end to his goodness. And there is no end to his goodness. So raise your hands and let's pray over our families, the dwelling place of God in our midst. Father, I just ask that your goodness would be poured out. It wouldn't be something we bring to you, but something you bring to us. And I thank you, God, for changing patterns and healing marriages, God. I thank you for reconciliation and restoration, God, working among us. I just ask, I just say it's not too late. I feel like where Mary said, if you would have been here, I say it's not too late. God, I pray for the resurrection of relationships, God, that lost sons and daughters would come home. And I ask, God, that you would make our families, our marriages, as good as you are in heaven, God. So we take the lid off, we stop our self-effort, and we ask you to pour in your goodness. In Jesus' name.
Come on, let's just lift up all the, we just lift up all the children right now, all the ones going back into school, God, all the teenagers, all the elementary age, the middle school, God, we just pray right now, God, let them shine like the sun. God, we pray your presence would be a rest upon them. God, that they would rise up with strength and be the leaders, be the ones who would set the tone in every school, every area that they go, God, we pray. Strengthen them by the very power of your spirit in Jesus' name. Come on, church, we all shouted, amen. Yeah. Come on, you may be seated. That awesome man. Come on, God wants us to cry out to him for help. Isn't that awesome? So good. We do this together. I believe it's a part of what we are, who we are all the time. Psalm 107 is a great psalm, and I don't have time to go through it all, but it's really it's a description of all kinds of people in great need, and there's pictures of vulnerabilities and hardships of people that all of us would encounter, physically, spiritually, mentally. And there's this part, it goes into verses 4 through 6, and it really addresses the distracted and the bored. In verses 10 and 11, it addresses the rebellious and the prodigals, and it talks about sickness and disease in verse 17. But there's a part towards the end, verse 23 through 28. It's so good. And I'm just going to read that part. It said, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and wonders in his deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. Now check this part out. They rose up to the heavens and they went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man, and they were at their wit's end. These guys were in a storm, if you get that. I mean, that's what I'm addressing, the storms and battles, right? And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of all their distresses. Isn't that awesome? In every one of these times, if you study this psalm, the turning point and the climax is the same. Then they cried out to the Lord, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Isn't that awesome? I'm telling you, I feel like sometimes when you're in a battle or you're in a storm, you get weary and you don't know. You don't even know you're winning the war. Anybody experienced that? I experienced that recently. I just thought, man, we have been battling for months, and the Lord opened my eyes and saw all the blessing that he put upon my life. And I went, oh, we're winning. Do you know what I mean? I know that sounds really weird, but it's like the prophet, you know, shared with his servant Gehazi. He's like, in the natural, we're losing. He said, Lord, open his eyes. And then he saw the army of the Lord surround him. Do you understand? He got a different perspective. And I think when we're in a battle, I'm always saying, God, open my eyes. Because it looks like we're losing. Do you know what I mean? When he opens our eyes, it's like, we're good. Do you understand? Isn't that awesome? So I want to pray. Dave and I specifically want to pray for those. If you feel like you've been in a battle or in a storm, sometimes it feels the same, but they're a little different, all right? If you feel like that, like, come on, just stand up if that's you. Come on, Dave's going to pray. I'm going to pray. Go ahead.
Yeah, come on. If you're around somebody who's standing, let's get around them and lay hands on them. Come on, church. Yeah. Come on, I just also specifically feel that people are in a battle in this place that they didn't ask to be in, that some unjust, unfair things have happened to you. Life happens, but come on, I just feel like where there's confusion, where there's pain in your heart, God's going to come with a gift of faith this morning and fill you with hope. Amen. Come on, so let's pray, and then we're going to sing, okay? So, Father, come on, like David ran towards Goliath, we run towards these things, and we say, Jesus, you are faithful, come have your way. There isn't a battle that's too big for you. Nothing is impossible for you. You are the God of the impossible. You are the God of the breakthrough. Come on, band, start playing behind me. Father, you see us right where we are, and you are making a way on our behalf. Jesus, you have overcome. Holy Spirit, come. Come with an atmosphere of hope. Come with a gift of faith. In Jesus' name. Come with the gift of faith to each heart who's standing here this morning, specific to their situation, specific to their battle, specific to the need. I pray for those who feel like something has been stolen from their life. Father, right now, come with your presence. Come and restore tenfold in Jesus' name. Come on, can we just lift our hands as an act of surrender, Father? Yours is the battle. Come on, you are victorious. Come on, guys, let's just sing this in faith. Come on.
Come on, in the midst of battle, I just want to encourage you to stay right there. In the midst of battle, sometimes the most important thing is to do what you know to do right, okay? If you look through scriptures, and anytime that the prophets were in a battle or different people in a battle, they did all that they knew according to the word of the Lord. So if you don't know, just default to obedience. Like, God, I'm just going to stay obedient. Just stay in that. It's like this lane of obedience. You stay in that lane, and you'll see the victory. Amen? So, God, we pray right now. Come on, we lift all, everyone that's in a battle, in a storm. God, we thank you that you're the Lord over everything, God. God, I pray you'd open everyone's eyes to see the battle from your perspective. Father, I pray for strength, strength, strength. Come on. We pray for strength and endurance, God. The strength of the Lord. When we're weak, you're strong. So, God, we cry out. God, release strength to those who are in battles, in Jesus' name. God, we pray, release endurance and vision to those that are in the storms, God. God, they see what's going on from your perspective, God. God, we cry out, come, come, kingdom of God. Come to those in battles. Come to those in storms. We say, come. God, we're crying out for your help in Jesus' name. Yeah. Woo. Come on. You may have a seat for a moment, all right? Come on. Isn't it good to cry out? If you just get one word this morning, one word sets you free. I'm telling you. Man, Martin Smith spoke a couple words a few weeks ago, and I remember one word went right into me, like changed me. But sometimes it's just a word, isn't it? Come on, it's good, isn't it? All through the Bible, we're seeing people crying out to God, okay? I'm just going to buzz through them. Jesus in the garden, what does he do? He cries out to the Father, right? Disciples in the boat, what did they do? Cried out for Jesus to save him. Peter walking on the water, what did he do? Cry out when he started sinking, right? Jonah in the belly of the fish, what did he do? Cried out, right? Samuel cried out for Israel. Blind Bartimaeus, he cried out, right? Come on, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, and Romans 10, 9 and 10, you guys are familiar with this. Whoever cries out to the Lord, what will happen? Shall be saved, right? Come on, take advantage of this opportunity. You can cry out, God, come into my situation, amen? Okay, a couple keys in our crying out. Number one, everybody get this? You guys there? Two keys, everybody say one. One is fervency. Fervency, all right? Did you ever hear the word fervency? I know we don't say it much, but Charles Spurgeon, if you know who this guy is, he said, he who prays without fervency does not pray at all. I That's pretty intense, isn't it? It's like, wow. James speaks about the prophet Elijah in chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. And he speaks and says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what does it do? It avails much, right? And that effectual fervent is one Greek word called energio. It's where we get our word energy, all right? If you study this out, availeth much literally means makes much power available. Isn't that good? So our prayers with energy make much power available. Isn't that good? It's right there. It's clear as day. I thought, wow. But really, when we're doing this, we're crying out. We're really saying, God, you have all the resources that we need for whatever trouble we're in. Do you know that? We're literally telling God, we know that you've got all the resources I need for whatever kind of trouble I'm experiencing right now. Isn't that awesome? So come on. Another area we pray for regularly at Life Center is the businesses, workplaces, places of employment, places where people go to most of their time. So we're going to do that this morning. Is that okay? Come on. We're going to play for Business John and Vinny. Come on, guys.
Thanks, Brian. So when Brian was quoting from James, it was Elijah that he was talking about, right? You know, it was Elijah that prayed to stop the rain and start the rain. And there's this other moment with Elijah where he's on a mountain and he's a little bit frustrated and he's waiting on the Lord. He's in a cave and it says that there's a wind came and it like tore the mountain open. There was an earthquake. There was a fire. And then came a still small voice. And a lot of times when we think about that, we think that first came the wind and then it stopped. And he was like, nope, that wasn't the Lord. Then came an earthquake and it stopped. And he was like, nope, that wasn't the Lord. And then came a fire and it stopped. And it was like, that wasn't the Lord. And then he heard his voice. But I think what happened is I think the wind came, and when the wind was blowing at its most, all of a sudden an earthquake hit. And when the earthquake hit, on top of that came fire. And in the middle of all of that happening, God spoke, and it was his still small voice. And in the Hebrew, that means a thin silence. And sometimes when you're in the marketplace, it's like that. It's like all of everything that life has is been thrown out at you. And in that place, God's going to speak and he's going to bring breakthrough. So I'm going to pray for divine alignment. Because what happened in that moment was when God spoke to Elijah and said, what is it? Elijah went into this place where he said, I'm all by myself. And sometimes when you're in the marketplace, when you're the only Christian in an office or you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner, you feel like it's just you. But God has people for you that he's going to align you with. So, Father, I thank you. If you're in the marketplace, everybody just stand. We'll just have everybody stand because we're all in this together. Father, I just thank you for a release of divine alignment where you take marketplace apostles and marketplace prophets and you align them, where you bring people alongside of us to fulfill the mission, because you have a mission in the marketplace. There's people that are going to encounter the Lord. You're going to be the first person to release the presence of God in their life. And so we just release faith and anointing to bring change and to bring the presence and the goodness of God to wherever you are. And we anoint you as leaders. We anoint you as evangelists. We anoint you as missionaries into the marketplace in Jesus' name.
Thanks, Vinny. Just stay right there. Don't move. Businessmen and people, business women, understand when I say that. You all have this powerful part of your life that you're trying to connect people or answer problems or offer a service that will bring life to those around you. No matter what product you are, you're trying to bring something to people's lives that will improve their lives. It says right there, the effectual fervent prayer. That's the heartfelt. So every one of you, to some degree, is a problem solver or a prophet in the sense that you're bringing that, you're creating with your words, your action, your service, a connection for people, an answer to people, and a resolve and an answer to a problem. That's when men first begin to cry out in Genesis 4:26. They saw the conflict and began to cry out to God and worship in prayer. So you are actually, every one of you business people are prophetic in a degree, because you're evidence of things not seen, but the assurance of things hoped for is what you're believing for. And so you're putting these things together. So you're creating. You're not taking from others, but you're creating wealth. And wealth of the kingdom is more than stuff, than just natural stuff. It's entrance into people's lives, trust, and answer to a problem. So this is important for businessmen. Come on, can you say the amen to that? So come on, raise your hands. Let's pray concerning that area. Father, we cry out that, Lord, in our hearts, our deep felt, earnest prayer,
That we're here to serve. We are here to bring the answers to problems. We're here to connect people who need to be connected so that synergy will bring an answer, a release of life and blessing in every people's lives. God, we cry out that you would speak to our hearts every day, energizing and motivating us, Lord, to make those connections, to believe where there's not something, that there can be something there, that there's an answer to someone's life that we will bring, an answer to a natural problem, but also an answer to a relational problem, that we connect lives and business. It's the commerce of the spirit, the commerce of the soul, that when we connect, Lord, something happens when we connect with one another. God, the answers come and problems are solved and life brings, your peace comes between us. Trust, love, all the great things that are Hebrewic in its way, if I could use that word, but also answers to whole lives all across the earth. Come on, pray for me. Come on, begin to cry out. Come on, begin to call on the Lord and say, God, I know you have answers. I know you have connections. And I reach into the Spirit and I bring those connections. I reach into the Spirit and I bring those answers into my business. God, we pray that as we do this and we have success, that we will stand in righteousness. Come on, right standing with you. We'll bring the peace of your kingdom, the peace of your love, God, into people's lives and increase trust, synergy, and life. Come on, everybody shout out life.
Thanks, John. Yeah, wow. All right, you may be seated. Isn't it good? Fervency, you got it? Second key. Everybody say number two is one accord, unity, guys, all right? Acts chapter 4, you guys are familiar with this. They raised their voice to God with one accord. I love what it says in Joel chapter 1. Just stay with me, Joel. We're just going to go a little bit longer here. Joel chapter 1, verse 14, it says, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into what? The house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? By the way, we're going to have a Joel 1:14 here at Life Center 9-6, okay? You can just put that in your, yeah, that's the prayer we're going to have September 6th, right? Good. We're going to do a Joel 1:14. Are you with me? Good. Isn't that awesome? So what happens when we cry out one accord? Everything happens. But really, you see a picture of this in Romans chapter 15, verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth, what happens? Glorify the Lord your God, the Father, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? So when we do this together, there's a glorification. We do this every time we gather here on Sundays and Wednesdays. Isn't it awesome? But man, when you do something like Joel 1:14, it's like, hey, we're fasting. We're leaning in all the more here. Isn't that awesome? Come on. And I believe we're going to continue doing this for eternity. It's in the scriptures, all right? Revelation chapter 7. One more. Is that okay? Revelation chapter 7. Look at verses 9 and 10. It's really great here. It says, after these things I looked and beheld a great multitude. You guys with me? Which no one could count from every nation, all tribes and people and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And what did they do? They cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and into the Lamb. Isn't that awesome? Come on, man, we could cry out for all kinds of things. I know we're thinking like, well, Brian, I'm worried. Then cry out. I'm overwhelmed. You can cry out, okay? I'm stressed out. You can cry out. I think Jesus had a little stress in the garden, don't you think? Dripping drops of blood. There's a little press there, don't you think, right? Come on, if you're confused, cry out. It's the best thing. It's one of the greatest things we can do is cry out and God answers. Isn't it awesome? Come on, something we see through Scripture is men crying out for healing. I shared about blind Bartimaeus, but it's one of those areas I remember crying out in my own life, shouting when I felt symptoms caught in my life, and knowing I was healed. It's amazing how God does that, all right? Come on, are you with me? How many people are contending for healing right now? Come on, let me see your hands. Raise your hands. Why don't you just stand up? Come on, Johnny and Paul are going to pray for this area, all right? And we'll finish up, all right? I just want to encourage you. Come on, just as you're standing, just if you're here and you're like, wow, Brian, I'm ashamed of my sin. Well, there's two guys that Jesus talked about in Luke 18. One guy came and prayed within himself and told God all the great things he did. And the other one beat his chest and cried out with a loud cry and said, God, I'm ashamed. I'm a sinner. Save me. And it was like, which prayer did they hear? Are you there? So if you're here and you're thinking, man, this is new to me, I'm telling you, just cry out. Say, God, save me. Make yourself real to me, okay? Come on, these guys are going to pray for some healing. Come on.
Yeah. So I just want to clarify here because I know it can get confusing, but we're not crying out as though we're begging for God for mercy, as though we have more than he does. He wants to meet our need. When we're crying out, it's actually our faith interacting with what God actually wants to do. So we're coming into alignment with his will for our lives, okay? So God, we just thank you for all you've done and all you've provided for. God, Lord, we just cry out right now and ask that your power would come in this moment, Father, that our faith would connect with what's available for us and there would be an outpouring of healing in our bodies. God, I just thank you that you've given us authority to take authority over this sickness and disease. And so we just command every sickness in Jesus' name to die right now, every disease to shrivel up, every tumor to disappear in the name of Jesus. We speak life over our bodies right now in Jesus' name. We speak life over every cell. We command all chaos to leave, and we speak the peace of God over every cell of the body in Jesus' name. I bless these bodies. And right now, God, I just thank you, not just for a personal healing, but for corporate healing in the body of Christ in this church, that we would have an anointing for healing in this body. God, I thank you that we could be a cancer-free zone, God, Father, that we could be a disease-free zone, God, that you could start moving here in corporation of this church and this city. God, may the covering of the healing anointing that we carry not just be about us, but about this city and about this church. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, for your healing power in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Let's remain standing. I want to read the account of one of the healing stories from the scriptures. And we know this story. It's a story of the woman with the issue of blood. And we know the account where she actually touches the hem of his garment. But her storyline that led up to that will give so much great courage to us. So I want to read this part. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And if you find yourself in this story, this is for you to respond to the Lord this morning and for us as a community. Now, a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was not better, but rather grew worse. Now, if this is your story, that you've spent many years believing for something, but it has gotten worse, and you've spent a lot of finances and money and effort to see breakthrough, but you haven't been able to see it, there's still hope for us. Because this is the context of this woman who pressed in. There was reason and cause for her to still press in, even when all natural resources failed her, and when all of her finances failed her. All of these years she pressed in and didn't see breakthrough, but there's still hope for us in him. Amen. When she heard about Jesus's healing power, she pushed through the crowd and came up from behind him and touched his prayer shawl. Then Jesus said to her, "Daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you." I want to declare over Life Center as a community of faith that we are a community that dare to believe. Come on, let's say this together. I dare to believe. I dare to believe. Now let's say that as we're crying out. I dare to believe. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for healing here in this house. We speak it over the perimeter of this property in Jesus' name. As we walk in, like Paul prayed, let this be a healing, a zone of healing, cancer-free zone, any ailment, any sickness, any need that we have that will be met in his presence. Amen. Let's shout it again. I dare to believe.
I dare to believe. Jesus, we declare Jesus, the name of Jesus over families, God, of our businesses, of our workplaces, God. Come on, those are in storms. Those are in all kinds of battles, God. But for those that are contending for healing, God, we thank you that your name is above every name, God. God, we worship you today. We mix our worship with our intercession, God. We thank you that you're exalted in our lives, God. That you love when we cry out to you in time of need. God, we thank you for meeting us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, grab a hand next to you. Come on, put a hand on someone's shoulder and bless them. Father, we pray you'd bless everyone. We pray, Lord, as people go this week, you would bless them and make your face to shine upon them, God. We pray they'd shine like the sun wherever they go. Lord, they'd meet you and you'd meet them day in and day out all week long in Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. Well, greet that person. Love on them. Ministry team will be available. Come on up here if you want prayer. Personal prayer for anything, we'd love to pray with you before you leave. Amen.